Today's guest on Medio Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Paul Martin Schwartz, co-founder and CEO of Senark. Paul's company builds off-grid, solar-powered LoRaWAN gateways designed for maximum reliability with systems that can run for up to a month without sunlight. By combining energy-optimized electronics with rugged AGM batteries, Senark delivers network coverage in locations where conventional infrastructure simply can't go. From shoreline deployments with the Cleveland Water Lines to fill-in coverage for European telcos, Paul's work focuses on closing LoRaWAN coverage gaps quickly and sustainably. His background in telecom and IoT gives him a unique ability to bridge the gaps between field deployment realities and long-term network strategy. In this conversation, we'll explore the trade-offs in designing solar LoRaWAN gateways, the hidden costs of IoT projects, and why emerging markets, disaster response, and climate resilience are such strong fits for off-grid LoRaWAN. This episode is sponsored by Medio Scientific, dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. We offer tutorials, run demonstration projects, provide access to a global LoRaWAN, and produce this podcast, all in pursuit of LoRaWAN excellence. If you'd like to learn more, visit medioscientific.com. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Paul Martin Schwartz. Paul, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here because you guys at Senark have been doing stuff that I was trying to do a couple years ago and managed to, you know, get done well enough, but you're doing it really professionally, which is pretty cool. Maybe let's start with what does Senark do that's special?
We are trying to take the LoRaWAN infrastructure piece off the power grid and make it powered with renewable energy sources such as solar, which is our focus these days. And by making the gateway off-grid and solar-powered, it provides so much flexibility in terms of deployment. And with the energy reduction we've done on the system level, it also adds the necessary reliability and predictability of the solution. So what we've done is we've taken the gateway, we redesigned it, we took it off-grid, we stuck a solar panel and a battery on it, and with the energy-optimized solution, it can survive with no sun for up to a month with no sun at all.
Jeez. And can you walk me through, do you guys offer like different battery sizes and solar panels? I mean, Germany and San Diego are going to be two different places you might deploy and have very different solar radiation patterns.
Yeah, we offer three different sizes of solar panel and three different sizes of battery. So you can mix and match depending on where on the planet you're planning to deploy this. And what we see is when we get into the northern hemisphere where we come from in Denmark and Sweden, Norway, Finland, we're looking at 150 watt solar panels and 100 amp hour batteries. And as we go south, we go to 100 watt solar panels and 100 amp hour batteries or lower. So we can go down to something as low as 50 watt solar panels and 22 amp hour batteries.
Nice. Yeah. I think I got a little smaller, but I also didn't have this thing where I was selling these pieces. So like it didn't have to be like totally reliable. And I certainly trekked out onto mountains a couple of times like, oh shit, I should have put a larger solar panel on these things.
Yeah. But there's also a trade-off. I mean, if you are carrying it up a mountainside, you also have to think about the weight component. And obviously, our solution gets a little heavy when you get into the larger battery sizes because we purposely use lead acid batteries or rather AGM batteries, these gel sealed.
Yeah, you're not using the LiPo 4 or whatever.
No, we don't because they actually perform really poorly in cold weather. Lithium-based batteries tend to lose their charging properties when you go into sub-zero temperatures Celsius. Okay. So freezing temperatures and lithium batteries is not a good match. That's why you see electric vehicles heating their batteries in order to charge them.
Got it.
And if you try to charge a cold battery, you're simply going to destroy it because it crystallizes and breaks down. So for that reason, and because we started this project in Denmark where we live and we get, you know, down to 10, 20 minus during the winter, we purposely chose to use AGM batteries because they're completely flat across the temperature ranges.
Oh, super cool. I mean, I guess that's one of the many benefits of living in San Diego is I can get away with smaller batteries than the rest of it.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, you guys just, I think recently, fairly recently announced, I saw you guys out at Barcelona. I saw the demo piece you had, which is really cool. It reminded me of the ones that I built, but just way more professional. So you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Talk to me about this Cleveland Water Alliance piece.
Yes.
I'd like to know, A, how did you land that? And then B, what are you guys doing with them?
Great question. So we belong to a cluster of clean tech companies in Denmark. The organization is called Clean, and it's very much focused on water, not only drinking water, but also wastewater treatment. And Denmark has a long history of water technologies, and there's a good portion of really high skilled Danish companies in that industry, like Grundfos and Danfoss and Kamstrup, and these kind of companies that are catering to the water industries, the water sectors all over the world. And we belong to the same tech cluster. And through that tech cluster, we became friends with the Cleveland Water Alliance, which is an environmental NGO with a focus on cleaning up and making sure that the Great Lakes are doing well, which you can't say they've always done. I mean, I was there last year in Cleveland, and they told me that there was a time when the water actually was on fire. It was so polluted that the river that runs through Cleveland actually ignited and was burning. So of course, something needed to be done. And today they are kind of the champion and the steward of Lake Erie, and they belong to other organizations that are taking care of the Great Lakes. The reason why we became relevant for the Cleveland Water Alliance is obviously because they are doing a lot of measurements and metering and monitoring of the health of the lake and the waters. And they use sensors, and these sensors are LoRaWAN sensors. So they put them on buoys, and they work with one of our partners, a company called Limnotech in Michigan, up in Ann Arbor. And this company builds these very fantastic buoys where they co-host and co-locate all the technology for the IoT part. And the data needs to be relayed into land, and that's where we help by putting the gateway on the shoreline in the watershed, being able to connect those sensors to the cloud.
Got it. And I guess the two things there are connectivity for your gateways. Is it always LTE, or are you guys doing satellite as well? Is there kind of a deploy anywhere because of satellite, or is there limitations?
Pretty much like 99% of the time, we use LTE as backhaul. We can optionally provide a satellite modem, but it's for those applications where cost is not an issue, because we can't use Starlink. We can't use many of these newer technologies. It has to be something that is TCP/IP, and it has to use as little power as possible. So we are using a satellite constellation called Iridium, which has been around for a long time, and they have their own low Earth orbiting satellites. But it does cost significantly more money than Starlink. But then again, it doesn't use as much power.
Interesting. Okay. And you've talked about the hidden costs of IoT, certainly. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a not so hidden cost of one of them. What are some of the others that you see on projects where people just get bitten by, like, oh, I did not expect that?
I think one of the things that has come as a surprise for many networks and organizations deploying LoRaWAN networks is actually doing the radio planning and the design of the network and coming up with the right number of gateways to provide a robust and reliable coverage throughout the area. Because radio is not always predictable, especially when you're using ISM bands, it's not always predictable how well the signal will penetrate a building or get into a well or in a deep indoor somewhere. So therefore, it's very seldom that I've seen a network be built once and then not having to be augmented by more gateways.
Sure.
So that's where we fit wildly into that, because it doesn't take much to augment an existing network where there's gaps and holes, radio dead zones. And by putting our network gateway into those gaps or those dead zones, you can kind of fill out the gaps. And that's what we're helping telcos and service providers with all over Europe. And that seems to be a sweet spot for us.
Oh, that's super cool. I can see that. And who was doing it before CenArc? I remember when I was trying to build these things, there wasn't really much online.
Well, we have competitors, and
okay.
we have, you know, very capable competitors. I mean, namely, you know, the Tektelec Photon, the rack system is also a viable product.
I just saw that come out. Yeah. Are you guys worried about that? Or are you like, oh no, we've got something different. So there's enough differentiation.
We don't worry about the competition. I was brought up in Cisco, and at Cisco, we always were told, don't think about the competition. Just get things done. Do things for the customer and don't worry about the competition. And I think that's our modus operandi as well. We don't sit around complaining and worrying about the competition. Instead, we try to provide a solution that takes into account that this is an on all the time network. It has to run 365, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. None of the other systems will guarantee that. We can guarantee that because we overspec everything and because we lower the energy consumption on the electronics and the software to a point where the competition can't compete.
That is pretty good. I mean, yeah, a month without sun is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's our unique selling point. That's why we believe that if you're doing something that is mission or business critical, where you demand a reliable system that needs to work in any day of the week, any day of the year, rain or shine. We have days in Denmark where we have 20 days with no sun. And if you need a system that operates throughout that period, you need something that is optimized for that. So that's what we provide.
God, I don't know how you do it 20 days without sun. Not what we're doing here in California.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Let's finish up with this idea of emerging markets. I know you've talked about it a little bit. It seems like this kind of thing is a really good fit for that. Walk me through what you see in the kind of landscape there and where you guys might think you might focus your efforts.
Yeah. So there are several areas that we are looking at and helping system integrators and municipalities and governments and other organizations. One of them is within the climate resilience. Because as we talked about, climate changes are a reality and it's not going away. On the contrary, it's only going to get worse. So coming from a country like Denmark, where, you know, we're completely flat and we're pretty low when it comes to sea level.
It's about to be a real problem for you, yeah.
Flooding is a real problem. It's a real, you could say, clear and present danger. And so having data and having rapid detection of various risk parameters is vital in order to do a proper risk assessment and a proactive response. So that's one of the areas we're helping with. The brother or sister disaster to that, to flooding, is wildfire. And wildfire is another disaster area, which you can, of course, in California relate to a lot. We don't get it that much here in Scandinavia, but they do get wildfires in Sweden, in northern Sweden, but not like you see it in California and other places in America, but that is definitely an area where we are seeing a lot of need for being able to bring data from those really difficult, hard to reach locations to the cloud or to a software application somewhere where insights and value can be created for the people on the ground.
Yeah.
And that is a focus area for us. Then we also have, obviously, agriculture. We have smart city, we have energy and utility companies using our solution for monitoring assets. We also were involved in a project where animals are tracked with GPS tags. And these are areas where there simply is no other infrastructure. So what do? Either you string up cables and build infrastructure, or you just put up a CenARC gateway or five. And then you have a proper network.
Or 10. Let's sell a couple of these things, yeah?
Let's sell 10 if we can. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Super cool. And I mean, if you're selling 5 or 10 gateways, that's covering an enormous amount of ground just because of the characteristics of LoRaWAN. So it's for customers who may be focusing on getting the results they want, tracking whatever, animals across a vast swath of land, they might be surprised with how few gateways they need. I like the strategy of saying, hey, we can fill in the holes really easily. You just drop one of these things in and it'll work.
Yeah. What's driving the market these days, at least in our parts of the world, is water metering, smart meters for, you know, metering revenue water.
Yeah.
And this is also an area where we are being deployed simply because the installation costs are significantly reduced.
Yep.
The complexities are significantly reduced and the time it takes to actually project and, you know, plan and program the project and execute on the deployment. So This is where we are working with some of the biggest and the largest companies. And that has kind of given us the boost and the kick in the pants from the beginning. And this is greatly appreciated. And we really value our strategic partners that way.
It's super cool to see just basically the world continues to learn more about LoRaWAN and see where it fits in. Mm-hmm. And it needs all of these different partners in the ecosystem. And you guys are clearly an important part of that thing where it's like, hey, if you need coverage somewhere off grid, great, drop one of these things in.
Yeah.
Ripping. Well, Paul, thanks so much for making the time. I know you're super busy. I know running a business is not one of those things where you're like, oh, I'll just do it next week. So thanks for...
Yeah, no, that doesn't happen these days. No.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure, Nick. I think what you're doing is fantastic. Keep it up. It's what we need to promote and accelerate the adoption of LoRaWAN and IoT in general. So thank you so much.
No, right on. Thanks, man. That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you. So whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas. And ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show, that's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.